Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time to bring in Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the AJC.com. Papa Towers, how are you doing, my man?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing fine, thanks. How's the little man doing?
Oh, he's doing fantastic. He's pushing 6 pounds now.
Awesome.
So we're feeling really good. He's at home, and thanks for asking, as always, Dave.
Hey, I hear you. As having one myself, it is great. So let's see, what was his birthday?
October 11th.
No,
I mean, excuse me, September 14th.
Wait a second, I threw you off on that one, didn't I? I was like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, that was not even close. I don't know where that came from.
Now, I guess the big question. Does
I was going to say,
I'm looking at a number 11 on my computer screen at the moment.
I got you.
Jake Fromm's on the screen.
There you
I
go.
Don't know.
There you go.
Whatever.
Well, the reason I ask is because I was going to make the joke. He's been waiting all his life for the Dogs to beat Notre Dame, and I know everyone is at a fever pitch for what's coming up here on Saturday. I know you went to South Bend. You even went there before the game, I guess the summer before, a couple of years ago, to kind of gauge the intensity of what it was going to be like. Compare a little bit, in your mind, what this week is like to Athens compared to what that weekend was like 2 years ago in South Bend.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, now I feel like I'm an expert on South Bend because I have been there 3 times. I went there this past spring and then the spring before the 2017 game. And, of course, I went there for the 2017 game. And that's, you know, before that, a lifetime of having never been there. So I do feel like a bit of the resident Notre Dame expert. And, you know, I mean, there's a few realities at work here. One of them is Notre Dame kind of does this all the time. You know, they've been a long time, you know, huge independent in college football, you know, that has their own separate television agreement. Now, never minding all the, you know, conference and non-conference affiliations and then the fact that they haven't been great again until recently, but you know, they just don't, it's not like Georgia. You know, there's not there, they have a tiny little campus. You know, a lot of Georgia fans got up there, but I mean, you know, you're talking about 8,000 students, one of the most beautiful campuses you've ever seen. And you know, so they're excited about this game, and they're excited about a lot of games. This game is more exciting than a lot of games for them, but they're always playing new power fives, new games, you know, teams rotating in and off the schedule with decades in between, because that's just how they play a little bit of a Big Ten schedule, they play a little bit of an ACC schedule, and then they mix in these big out-of-conference games fairly regularly. But so, you know, talking to a guy who's become a pretty good friend of mine, Eric Hansen of the South Bend Tribune, longtime columnist there. Now, his words, not mine. He says there's a good bit of trepidation that he's sensing in the Notre Dame Nation right now because they know, you know, they have a record of failure recently in games like this. And, you know, they're worried about another Clemson happening on this particular Saturday. But that is not quelling any of the excitement in the Notre Dame Fighting Irish Nation. I talked yesterday, I guess it was, with the president of the Notre Dame Alumni Association. They have just that group alone, not other Notre Dame groups. They have 9 buses coming from Atlanta on Saturday. We know for a fact, you know, that Georgia gave Notre Dame 8,000 tickets. I anticipate at least a couple of thousand more to be procured on the secondary market. So you're talking about, you know, probably upwards of 10,000, 11,000 Notre Dame fans being in town. And that's a lot for any home game because Georgia typically doesn't give up more than 6,500 to 7,000 tickets to a visiting team such as Tennessee or Auburn or Alabama or what have you. So they'll be a bigger representation of Notre Dame fans than Georgia's had in any home game in a long time. And then you add to that what I understand, talking to Greg McGarrity yesterday, he's not even sure where this figure is coming from, but apparently the figure is being bounced around by organizational officials, city and university, that upwards of 90,000 extra people will be in town, over and beyond what you have, which will be 93,246 inside Sanford Stadium, but apparently another 90,000 maybe around town, downtown, everywhere else. So, you know, you got a fairly significant event. This is a football version of Woodstock for little old Athens, Georgia.
So what you're telling us, Chip, is the game's at 8. Don't show up in Athens around 6. Get here early.
You know, this is I always get the games early, but, yeah. You know, I think I'm just going to wake up, shower, and go. You know,
absolutely.
Just go ahead and get over there. And the interesting thing, like I'm doing, you know, I'm doing a live TV hit with, you know, ABC 57 of South Bend and doing, you know, Johnny Paul Ballpark Franks is calling me. And, you know, I mean, even for us as journalists, you know, we get, you know, covered up in kind of media coverage too, because every national journalist you can think of is in town. You know, I saw Andy Staples of The Athletic at Panera yesterday. Dennis Dodd has been at all the opportunities, media opportunities this week from CBS. So, you know, it's a big deal.
Talk about the game itself for a second. Actually, one specific individual, and you've done a great job covering all this week, but 2 years ago when Georgia did make the trip up to South Bend, that was Jake Fromm's first career start. We kind of forget that he was quite literally thrown into the fire, but this young man, and state the obvious, has grown up a ton. But what's impressed you about the way he handles himself on just a big stage where I don't think this phases him whatsoever this weekend?
No, I don't think it does. I'm disappointed we hadn't had much of a chance to talk to Jake right. beyond after the game this past weekend, because I'd love to get a little bit more of his insight. But I also get it, because, you know, he is a meticulous preparer, and, you know, really this is a guy that in every aspect of his life, whether it's this or a calculus test, you know, he really gets down in the weeds and studies it, and I think that's his strength. I mean, that's he said it before in interviews I've had with him, that you know, his paranoia manifests itself in preparation, and so that's what he's doing, so that he knows every possible look he could possibly get and kind of what the scenarios are going to be. He envisions it. His coach, Von Lassiter, is always fun to talk to. I haven't talked to him this week about it, but he's always fun about, because he's fascinated with Jake Fromm's mind and the way he processes, you know, train loads of information, and he's able to regurgitate it in real time on Saturday. So I think that's a strength. Brian Kelly was talking about it yesterday. The Notre Dame media was asking him about Jake Fromm and the ascension of Georgia football and where it is, and he, you know, he just shrugged his shoulders. He said he's a great quarterback. He said, just like Trevor Lawrence, just like Tua Tagovailoa. He said, if you look around the great programs, they all got a great quarterback, and that's what he is. And so, you know, look, Georgia was ascending under Kirby Smart no matter what. But, you know, for me, you know, still my narrative on Georgia football right now, and we'll see how Jacob Eason's career, you know, turns out and all that kind of stuff. But I think Georgia has gotten where it's gotten. It got where it got in 17, and it is where it is today, kind of because of all those events that took place early in the 17 season. So I think Jake Fromm is an asset for Georgia, and you know, I'll also say I think Ian Book is an asset for Notre Dame. They think they have a pretty special one as well. So this should be there should be some real offensive fireworks on Saturday, I think.
Well, this isn't a knock on Eason, but when you look back at the 2017 season, I know there was the Godwin catch at Notre Dame. There was Sony's run in the Rose Bowl. There was Swift's run in the SEC championship game. But I still think the most important play was Eason getting hurt and Fromm coming in. I mean, again, it sounds like a knock on Eason, but it's to me, I'm trying to compliment Fromm and how things changed for Georgia that day. And here we are 2 years later with people wondering, you know, is he going to be back next year? Is he going to be in Athens for a senior season? Which is, you know, it's premature to even have these kind of conversations with all these big games coming up. But, you know, as we like to say, we're glad Fromm is our quarterback. And, Chip, speaking of, give us a little of your thoughts on Ian Book and where he's come, because he has turned into a very good quarterback as well.
Well, I'm really eager to see how he does on this stage, you know, because, I mean, he's had some big games, obviously, last year. And, you know, I think Baker Mayfield a little bit, you know, probably not quite as much of an athlete, but I heard Kirby, and it wasn't to the print media, but you know, he's been all over the place this week, and it might have been Chuck Dowdle on those weekly updates that he does, but refer to him as Houdini. You know, he's that kind of guy that maybe Drew Brees when he was young. You know, that he's not all that big, and he's not the fastest guy in the world, but I'll be dang if he doesn't find a way to kind of get out of tight situations and either buy himself time or just, you know, shuttle up the field a little bit just enough to get a first down. And that's what Kirby talked about, is he's just so frustrating for defenses because you do everything right. Everybody's covered. You get good pressure. You got good edge set up. Everything works. And then he squirts out of a tackle and gets 10 yards for a first down, you know. So that's the kind of guy he is. Georgia's going to have to be really on their P's and Q's defensively. I think this is going to be a really interesting matchup for Dan Lanning versus Brian Kelly, who's effectively the offensive coordinator, on the whole havoc thing. Because you can't necessarily pin your ears back. I mean, you pick your right spots and come after them with exotic pressures, I think. I think you can't just come up with standard pressures on them. But you got to be careful. Azeez Ojulari this week was talking about, you know, you can't make the big looping rush from the outside, you know, because this guy, he'll make you miss, and now he's got a wide open perimeter for you. So everybody's got to kind of stay in their lanes. You can't over rush. It'll be complicated from that. And the key to that is just getting one-on-one, you know, without a lot of stunting and pressures. Penetration by your defensive front. That's where I think Georgia, I mean, I think that's where Georgia can win the game decisively, is if that D-line is kind of maybe better than advertised Georgia. And like what happened up there in 2017 when they had McGlinchey and all those guys that were all world, Georgia was able to get great penetration and was quicker than those guys. And Georgia needs that to be the case again this Saturday.
Talking with Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the AJC.com.
Also, speaking of how the game will go this Saturday, a lot of folks are talking about this rushing attack from Georgia and maybe Notre Dame's, quote, I'm using air quotes here, inability to stop the run. However, Coach Smart this week was very quick to remind us that Louisville quarterback was a mobile quarterback, so perhaps some of those rushing stats might not be what they seem. But you've studied the tape. You've watched the matchup. How are you feeling about Georgia's ability to maybe move the rock at will this Saturday night?
Well, that'll be why they win the game. That's why they're a two-touchdown favorite, yeah, and that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, and Kirby believes in this, as we all know, you know, the ability to run the football when everybody knows you're going to run is the most important possible aspect that you can have. And, you know, this is going to be power football at its finest. And if Georgia – he's able to establish that. And now listen, this Notre Dame defensive front, it's not even close, is better than any of them they've had. They tend to be a little bit stronger on the edges. I mean, they've got great upfield edge pressure, edge guys, but guys, I'm a little bit skeptical on them up the middle. They were really strong the last couple of years. If you remember the guy named Drew Tranquil up there, intercepted a pass against Georgia. He was almost a hybrid safety inside linebacker, somewhat similar to Roquan Smith. He made a lot of plays in that game. But the total number of lost tackles off that defense in Notre Dame is 600 from last year. It's more than 600 when you talk about, and that's really the linebacker and secondary layer. So it's the second level that I think is subpar for Notre Dame, and the statistics back that up. Now, you know, they played New Mexico and Louisville. What do you make of that? You know, and certainly both teams had some success running the football. So, I mean, I think Georgia's going to have success running the football. And Kirby always says, you know, we're going to take what they give us. You know, we're going to do whatever you say. But I don't think there's any question that you're going to be looking to establish the line of scrimmage and establish the run game. It probably won't happen right away. This is going to be one of those games where fans are going to be frustrated. Well, they keep running into the middle of the line. You know, but what happens when you got Solomon Kinley and Ben Cleveland and Cade Mays and Big Trey Hill leaning on you all game, that those runs become different runs in the third quarter and late in the third quarter and that kind of stuff. And I think this will be old school football in that regard. Georgia's got to try to make that happen for themselves.
A couple of names we're keeping an eye on this week, Chip, and I don't know if we've heard anything new, but Tyson Campbell, questionable this game with a foot injury. Isaiah Wilson, I'm getting positive vibes, but nothing certain yet about his status. What are we hearing about some of these guys that may or may not see the field Saturday night?
Well, you know, I heard your injury update earlier, and I was surprised you guys didn't mention Tyson Campbell, but I maybe it was because y'all are like us, we don't really know 100% whether he's going to be there or not. It doesn't look good for Tyson Campbell, and I think that's too bad for Georgia because, Tyson Campbell's playing really well early on. You know, him and Eric Stokes both playing pretty good, and he's got three pass breakups already this year. I think he had two all of last season. So, you know, there's no question that he has looked better. He's a special athlete. Five-star out of Miami, there's no question that he's a special guy. And the fact that he wasn't out there, I think it's a hamstring, and those are not good for cornerbacks in particular. And I think this is a kind of an underplayed storyline because Notre Dame is going to try to throw the ball all over the yard. You need to be at your best in that back end. The facts are, think about it. Now, you got Eric Stokes and Tyson Campbell as your starters, both sophomores, and they're going to be replaced whenever they come out of the game by true freshman Tyreek Stevenson and first-year JUCO transfer DJ Daniel. Now, you know, there are other players that those guys are playing in front of that might have more experience, and the pedigree of these guys is very, very high. But when you get into a sophisticated against a sophisticated offense like this, and they know somebody out there is not the best guy, they're going to pick on you. There's no question about it. And look, it's still hard to get in Notre Dame, and all those players that are on that side of the ball are very intelligent, and they can play more intelligently than a lot of teams in the country. So, I think that's a problem for Georgia, but it's going to be one of those matchups we have to pay close attention to. Isaiah Wilson, on Monday was firing off the ball and walking very gingerly back to the huddle after that. But that's on Monday. The big question for Georgia is whether they think a less than 100% Isaiah Wilson, 6'7", 340 pounds, is better than a 100% Cade Mays, who I think looked fantastic at right tackle in the last game. It's Arkansas State, but him and Ben Cleveland on the right side looked pretty doggone good. So, I think that's one of those. He'll be dressed out. I think they'll give it a look and see how he's doing, and they'll go with the best guy there. But I think even if Isaiah Wilson can't go, I still like Georgia's O line overall.
All right, Chip. It's hard to believe that the historical game is just 2 days away, but it is on us. And I'm like you. I've heard all these reports about all these extra people that are going to be here in Athens. And I'm not saying they're not, but I just want to see what it's going to be like. Is it going to be like widespread panic in 1998? I don't know. I'm kind of joking there a little bit about that. But is downtown going to be, is downtown going to be just so full of people that you can't even move around? I mean, that's what I've got in my head right now that's going to feel like that.
Well, it's one of two things are going to happen is that is going to happen because, if a lot of people come, they're not going to the game. That's where they're going to be, or people like us, especially those I think a little bit older generation. They start hearing about crowds and traffic and parking, and they're like, no, let's just stay home. So, you know, it might scare some people off, but, you know, I heard y'all talking about the weather earlier, and it's, you know, it's wonderful. I, you know, walked with my son out of the bus stop this morning and took the dog for a walk, and, you know, it's kind of like the golf gods were just waiting for Georgia to play a real game, and then we're going to turn the temperature down a little bit. And it's supposed to be absolutely gorgeous on Saturday. That's part of the attraction. So many people come to the town. It's supposed to be blue skies and seasonably cool. So you couldn't ask for a better environment. You couldn't ask for a better game. And we're all really excited about it. I know you guys are too.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Chip. Always great talking to you on Thursdays, and we'll see you Saturday.
All right. See you.
Thanks, Chip.
Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the AJC.com.